CBSI in the World. I'm John Batchel. Joseph Sternberg, the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes the political economics column. He's based in London, and we go immediately to the news in London. This is the London Times. UK weather. Hottest day of the year could hit in September. The Met Office, that's the weatherman in Britain, the Met Office is predicting a highs of 32 degrees centigrade on Wednesday and Thursday of this week, within hours, in parts of England, potentially matching the year's record of 32.2°C. That translates into almost 90 degrees. That happened in June of this year. Now, the question, 90 degrees in rural Connecticut is okay. You stay out of the sun. But London is a little different in that it's not air-conditioned, to my understanding. I haven't been there for decades, but I am told that. So, Joe, hottest day of the year, question mark? Is this heat wave memorably different than last year's heat wave when there was also a drought?
It's pretty uncomfortable out there. I mean, one key point is that these heat waves are not necessarily unusual. We do often seem to have them for about a week every year. I mean, what is notable is that this year it's happening in early September instead of August, which is when it happened last year. But I think that, you know, this is an example of just how, people are trying to cope with this rather variable, unpredictable British weather.
They're coping in Moscow, where it's hot. It's hot enough so that they're not wearing jackets in September. It's hot here in New York and across the country, roaring hot, but it is early September. So let's go to another matter that puzzles me, Joe. I make Joe responsible to explain the Parliament. This is a very strange system. Every 5 years, they're supposed to have a general election, and you get to live for 5 years with your majority, except for by-elections here and there that are said to be talismans of where we're going. Right now, there have been by-elections that the conditions favor Labor, but they're mixed. And then I ask myself, what are the Tories doing to define themselves, given all the troubles of these last years, the COVID, Boris Johnson, Brexit, the several prime ministers within 20 minutes, and now Rishi Sunak, who emerged pretty much because he was the last one sitting when the game of musical chairs stopped. And now I read this. Tories to ease effective ban on onshore wind farms. Rishi Sunak to reverse Cameron's strictest limits in the face of rebellion. Joe, is there an energy policy for the Conservatives that we can identify? Because last week or last month or weeks ago, I remember them opening a coal mine and telling the North Sea to pump oil again. Where are they, Joe?
Good question, because there doesn't appear to be a coherent energy policy at the moment. Now, I think that what's going on with this debate about onshore wind is that it perfectly encapsulates the kind of tensions that they're facing right now. Because on the one hand, I think you have a wing of the Conservative Party that understands that if you are really serious about pushing renewable energy, part of that is going to have to entail onshore wind, even if that has consequences for the appearance or the aesthetics of the countryside, creates that kind of inconvenience for people. And against that, you have a faction of the party that likes the idea of renewables in theory, but is not prepared to pay that kind of price in terms of having to have a wind mill in the neighborhood or in the next hill over, obstructing the view. And so I think that this is a classic example of the sort of issue that is creating a lot of political problems, not just but for the Conservatives, and not just for the UK, but for a lot of political parties in a lot of places, where up to now you've had this very abstract support for renewable energies or for a lot of other policies, like the transition to electric vehicles that might help with achieving various carbon emissions goals. But then as soon as you try to translate that into policies that require people to make specific sacrifices, and particularly financial sacrifices, the policies become more and more contentious and less popular.
Onshore wind farms, offshore wind farms. So the difference is that you can see the onshore, you can't see the offshore. Is there also a concern that Rishi Sunak is going green? Is that a problem for him?
Well, I mean, there's also an important difference in cost, in that one of the reasons people want the onshore wind is that it is cheaper to build than the offshore that's out in the middle of the ocean. And again, I think that is an example of how you have to be able to balance these financial issues. And the real criticism of Rishi Sunak isn't necessarily, is he green or isn't he green? It's how effective is he as a prime minister balancing these competing environmental and financial and aesthetic and political considerations, if those things even can be balanced right now.
Joseph Sternberg, editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, writes political economics. He's in very heated London. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.